We'll have to separate y'all two, aren't I? We're going to have to, one of you get them over here and one of you stay over here. This is a small place. Treat y'all like you're in high school or something. Call you out. Okay. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. God is so faithful. He is so faithful to us. In that He has confirmed His word time and time again. If we but listen, just listen for the Spirit of the Lord. And we were talking this morning before things started. We prayed before around 10 o'clock before services start. And while we were praying, or Joseph was telling me that he and his wife were talking about Scripture, and he quoted the Scripture, and she goes, "Yeah, I know that Scripture." And he said, what Scripture is that? And he says, "Well, Arthur quoted it during his sermon. He wasn't here. He was at work last Sunday." And he said, "Oh." So, again, another confirmation that God is speaking to us. I love that. I love that God speaks to us. And He is, His word being true, and which means that if His word, if we can, in the confirmation, is that not only is His word true, but the confirmation also gives us the grace to perform it. And if He's given us the grace to perform His word, then we should not shrink back at any point to perform His word. There is an application to do His word in life. We should give ourselves to apply the word and to be able to say, "God, I can't do this by the flesh. I can't get this done by myself. I have to do this through the Spirit of the Lord. And because You have confirmed it, You're telling me that You're willing to give me everything I need for," just be able to quote this, "for life and godliness." You're giving me everything I need for life and godliness. And if that is true, which it is, then you walk in the power, in the grace of God. So don't question it. Don't question it. That's your faith. That is your faith to walk in it. You have the faith in Christ, of Christ, to perform His work, His word, and His work. Okay? So, back to, you know, we talked after last week, there was this tremendous outpouring of His Spirit. Part of what happened last week was such a outpouring of His Spirit. You got to know me in the sense of I wanted so desperately to call people up and go, did that word confirm? Did that word confirm in your spirit? Did it bear witness with your spirit? And so it took more faith for me not to call you and just to believe that God did what he was going to do. You know? So I just sat still and believed God to be God. Okay? So I'm believing that God is moving and doing and transforming lives. And as he's doing that, he's confirming the word in you. Part of that testimony. You didn't ask for it, but you gave it, and God in me, God confirmed in me, saying, see, you don't even have to ask for it. I'll give it to you. That's awesome stuff. That's awesome stuff. You start going, yes. You know. So I want to, part of last week was I gave you a homework assignment. And that homework assignment was I didn't read all of the text that was for of Matthew 13, parable of the soil, of the good ground, thorny ground, hard ground. And part of that was so that you would take time to read that for yourselves. And part of that was that you would have a heart to hear and that you would have eyes to see and that God would speak to you personally, this is what I'm trying to do in you. And so to give you insight into what kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you to be able to receive the Word of God? And part of that is, man, making yourself available to the Word of God. And that was part of your homework assignment. And to go forth and read the Word of God. So we're going to go on from there to the other parable. There are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I don't know if I'll get through all of these parables, but we're going to get through to as many as we can. And we're going to go through them one by one. And we're going to start with, verse 24. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So, pretty explanatory, self-explanatory what happened in this time. And then he explains in verse 36, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus is sowing. So it's God who sows the seed. It's Jesus who sows the seed. It's the Father and the Son sowing seed into the church today. Okay? So he's sowing good seed into us. All right? You're good seed. All right? Now, where am I? The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Wow. This is amazing stuff right here. There's a wealth of information. And in this information, he's saying, there's good seeds that are being planted into the world today. When you receive the gospel was the seed that was sown into you. And he says, this is what I'm trying to bring into the earth today. For a purpose and for a plan, you are to be oaks of righteousness. You are to be mustard seeds. It's supposed to be little tiny seeds to grow up to a tree. And it's supposed to sprout. And you are to be havens for birds to make their nest in. You are to be these people in the kingdom of heaven. But he said, the enemy's going to come and he's going to sow in bad seed among you. And so the workers are saying, should we uproot the weeds among the tares? And he said, no, leave them alone. Because if you uproot this, then you're going to uproot the wheat with the tares. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen when we do things by the flesh instead of by the Spirit. You uproot some things and you take in a lot of the soil with it if you take it up by the roots, and then you take up, if you've ever pulled weeds, you'll take up much of the ground around it with it, and you take up good plants with it. And they said, you're going to disturb everything that's around it just as much as you're going to uproot that weed. He said, just leave it alone. But when the time comes, they're going to uproot when it's harvest time, they're going to uproot all of the weeds, they're going to bundle them up, and they're going to put it in the furnace of fire, and that's when we're going to separate the sheep from the goats. That's when we're going to separate the weeds from the tares, the tares from the wheat. That's when we'll do the separations. And so, leave them alone. Let me tell you, it's hard. It's just hard. It's hard to be able to see that during those times you're going, God, what do you want me to do with those things? What do you want me to do with disruption? What do you want me to do? And he said, leave it alone. You need to be connected with the Spirit of the Lord. Because it is through the wisdom of God that he tells you. It is to teach contrast. I believe this is one of the things that God is trying to show us. This is good seed and this is bad seed. This is the difference between the two. It's also to teach, to enact wisdom, to enact prayer, to enact holiness. It is for us to be on our game. It is for us to know exactly how we are supposed to act within the house of God. It is how we are supposed to know what we are supposed to do and how the goings in and the goings out thereof and how to act within the house of God. And those who aren't, Paul gives specific instructions on how they should act and how they shouldn't act. And he's saying, it's a hard thing. We need to be in constant contact with the Spirit of the Lord. And how that should we should move forward with them. Always love. Always knowing that God is the head of the church. Always, always, always. Tough. I'm telling you, it's tough. Dealing with people is tough. I love the end of this. Because this is the promise at the end of this verse. In verse 43. And this is what I think that we here at Ecclesia must have. This should be probably one of the prayers that we have on our lips all of the time. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then we who are true to the kingdom of God, we who are true to the word of God, we will shine forth as the sun. There will be a contrast unto what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. He will make sure of that we will shine forth as the sun. God will make sure that that happens. I'm telling you. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care what gives you, what you think gives you place. God will make sure that the righteous will shine. I'm telling you, God is faithful to those who are true to the Word of God. And He will make you shine in the kingdom of God. A lot of that comes from humility. A lot of that comes from just humbling yourself before God and just bearing His name, bearing His word, and going forth in what He says and not projecting your own. When I read this, the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. I want to be one of those. Do you want to be one of those? Do you want to be one who shines like the sun in their Father's kingdom? Well, I hope that you do. Because that's what I strive for. I strive that I'm not looking for numbers. I'm not looking for that we have a gold plaque or I'm looking that we get an endorsement from God. You know, what is that word? Akeldama? It means that the Spirit of God has left this place. Oh, God forbid that this ever happened here. That the Spirit of God would leave here. Why would we ever meet again? If the Spirit of God has left. Oh, there is no reason. Desire that the Spirit of God thrives in this place. And it doesn't depend upon numbers. It depends upon the Spirit of the Lord. And it depends if our hearts are turned toward Him. God's Spirit searches to and fro to see whose hearts are turned toward Him. That's the whole reason. He goes on in verse 31. Another parable He put forth in them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Isn't that cool? It is the smallest of all seeds. It is so tiny. Somebody gave me a mustard seed and put it in this little tiny jar and put it, if you have faith of a mustard seed, and they gave it to me for Christmas, and it was just, I mean, it's small. And it says, but it's the smallest seed, but it, out of all of the herbs, it grows to be a tree. It's not just a plant. It's a tree. And in that tree has the DNA. Out of that seed is the DNA to grow up to be a tree. And in that tree is able to allow birds to build their nest. Isn't that cool? What's the DNA that's in you? Well, God planted something in you to do something else. I'm not saying that do something else other than what you're doing. I'm saying God had put something in you to do something for Him, to be purposeful, to be a purposeful servant in the kingdom of God. I was telling them this morning that there was a man in our community. I don't know how old he is. I think he's older than me. But anyway, I went up to him and I said, I need to talk to you. God put you on my heart and I need to talk to you. I don't know if he's saved or not, but I needed to ask him, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And he goes, yeah, I think I would. I said, well, that's great. I'm glad you think that. Why? He goes, I've never asked that question. I don't know. I don't know why I would ask. He goes, but I think I would say, I deserve to go. I said, well, it only takes one sin to send you to hell. And I said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, as much as you think you deserve to go, you wouldn't go. I said, now, it takes the blood of Jesus to save your soul. He goes, I understand that. And he really did take it to heart. Now, what I believe about this man is that he's always lived his life toward one end, and that was toward making a life for himself. Now, that I'm not judging that. All I'm saying is God still has a purpose in his life. God still has purpose to do whatever God wants to do with him. I don't care how old he is. And if God put his name on my heart to go talk to him, then God still has his steps to be ordered of the Lord. And so I believe this. I believe that because there was an initiation to order his steps, then God is saying, go grab his attention. And if you grab his attention, then maybe the next time I talk to him, he's going to go, this is what Arthur was talking about. Arthur was talking to me about God's order in my life. I pray that. I pray that he hears the voice of God. I pray that he dreams dreams. I pray that God interferes in his life. I pray that God will come and he say, hey, hey, God, hey, listen. Listen to me. I've got something for you. It's more than what you've been doing. And here, look, this is it. Wouldn't that be great? I think it'd be great. I think he has major influence in people's lives. What if he used it for God instead of for himself? Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be awesome. Either way, God can step in, move in, and do something. What about? Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun. Then he gets to be shining as the sun. Glory, hallelujah. Just like all of you get to be. Shining as the sun. Man, those people that go out of Ecclesia Church, man, they go out there and they're just beaming. They're shining. Why? Because they just got the word injected in them. They're ready to go. They want the word and they're ready to give the word. Parable of the mustard seed. But he also says that in this parable of the mustard seed, he says, a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown greater than the herbs, a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. I don't know if any of y'all ever made bread before. I'm sure you have. But a little leaven will make the whole bunch of bread. Why? You knead it in there. And then you put it in a bowl and then you cover it. And then you go back later and you pick it up. And all of a sudden, that little ball of dough turned into a bigger ball of dough. Why? Because the yeast, because the leaven made it expand. Isn't that cool? The things that God invented. I mean, chemistry. God invented chemistry. You know? It's so cool. Yeah, you're just like, wow. You're just so amazing, God. And you just look at that and you're just going, man, the chemical reactions. And so all of a sudden, he says, you know, the first person that actually did that, that God actually told them, take a little bit of this, put it in your dough, and whoo! This He's saying, look at how little you can take and make much more. That's what the kingdom of God can do. I can multiply in you more than what you can think or imagine. You think we can do that? You think that what we have here can expand to that? Look at me. Can you think what we have here can expand to that? With a little leaven, with just a little mustard seed, a faith, a little yeast, into that? What's it going to take? It's just going to take God to move into our lives, to speak His word, to speak truth, to make us shine as He wants us to. See it? It's all. Yeah. You, right at this moment, I wish I were Jesus and could hear your thoughts. Yeah, that's all it says for you. Maybe fear or being scared or going, I don't know what to say. Man, just give it to God. He'll tell you what to say. It's that kind of thing. God, by the Spirit of the Lord, will give you every opportunity and every anointing, and He'll give you everything you need to say for life and godliness, for the life and the godliness that you need in your life to get stuff done. Honestly. Now, parables. I want to explain to you something. I probably should have started with this because now in modern technology, it would kind of be like going to a theater. And if you go into one theater, you look into one of the movies and it's showing a cowboy movie. You go into another theater and it's showing you a comedy, and go into another theater and it's showing a shoot 'em up show, and you go into another theater and it's showing you a romantic movie. And that's what's happening when he's telling these parables. He's going, I'm going to show you these scenarios that are happening in the kingdom of God, and I want you to see that this is the way it works in the scenarios of the kingdom of God. It works this way in this situation. It works this way in that situation. It works this way in that situation, and it works this way in that situation. We have a stagecoach and a cowboy. We have something different in this situation. We have something different in this situation. The characters change, and the scenarios change, and I'm telling you, this is how it works. If we're going to talk about a mustard seed, we're going to talk about the expansion of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, things work. And if you can look at, this is the way it works in the kingdom of God. You can take this, you can take these things as like to the promises of God, you can take it as to the bank and say, this is how I need it done in my life. Because God doesn't give empty promises. God says, if I said it, I will do it in your life. I will do that in your life. So if you need expansion in your life, in some way, fashion, or form, apply the principles of God. And He will do it. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Here he's showing you Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's going, look at this. He says, there's a treasure. That the kingdom of God is this treasure. It is such a wonderful place. It is such a great thing. And this kingdom of God is like a treasure. I want you to know that not everybody thinks that the kingdom of God is a treasure. Not everybody thinks that what we value is the same thing that you value. Not everybody thinks that the kingdom of God is of great value. And it actually shocks me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, really? These words that are coming out of my mouth are life and life abundant? I mean, don't you, when you're reading the Word, when you're reading the Bible, when you're actually going, man, this is good stuff. Man, your love, God, is my song, and I sing it. I'm forever telling everyone how faithful you are. When you read that stuff, and your heart is overjoyed, and you're just like flooded with this good stuff of God, just going, it's a fountain to you. When you're thirsty, it gives you, it quenches your thirst. And your hunger. And they go, oh, man, that's good. That's good stuff. People will call me. People will call me, like, late at night. And so I'm like, okay, it's fine. I mean, I'm not bothered by it. But they'll have questions. Man, I'm going through this rough path that I don't understand. And so I'll help them get to the other side of their problem. And they'll go, hey, that's good stuff. Really appreciate it. And then they just leave. I'm going, it's like all I wanted was the pill to get rid of the infection that I had. I don't understand. Do you not value the truth of the Word of God that came into your life, that gave you life? You can't just not acknowledge God's presence. The life transformation that just happened to you over the phone. I prayed for you, and all of a sudden, the light went off. You just went, bing. Did you not know that? See that? Hear that? I'm dumbfounded. Because they don't think of it as this invaluable source and go, wow, I want more of that. I don't understand. I really don't. Maybe I'm obsessive. Compulsive, obsessive, I don't even know what that means. But I'm addictive. if I like tacos, I don't want one, I want 20. You know, I like tacos, you know. kind of me. That's what I like. You know, so if I like the Word of God, I just don't want a little bit. I want a lot. You know, maybe that's my problem. But the issue to me is I value the Word of God. I value that it is a treasure hidden in a field. And I'm so willing to sell everything that I got to go buy it. To give anything that I have for it. But I got a key. I got this great key. And the key is, if I give it away, God says I'll give you more. Isn't that great? If I give it away, I'm going to give you more of it. In fact, in verse 23, he says, I'll give you 30, 60, 100 fold. We have this painting in our classroom. It used to be a classroom, now it's Sharon's office. But it's this painting of a prophetic word that we got. And we had our son draw it for us. And he gave it to Sharon for Christmas one year. And it's of these two people on the back of a wagon. And the wagon is parked by these two silos, two huge silos. And the two people are representative of Sharon and myself. And what we're doing is we are handing out provision for these people. And then this line goes down this road, and down that road, and down that road. And it's just all these lines of people that are coming to get whatever provision we have for them. And we're continuing just giving them more and more and more. And the silos never run out. That's the Word of God that we got. That's the Word of the Lord that came to us. And if you keep giving, if you keep giving, if you keep giving, these silos will never run out of provision. The word is not a private interpretation, folks. If you keep giving out the kingdom of God, you will never run out. God will continue to feed you more and more and more to be able to give out more and more and more. And I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, if you continue to give out the kingdom of God, God's going to make sure that you have plenty to give. It's just the principle of God. It's how He does it. It's the way He does it. He will give you more to give. He gives seed to the sower if you are a sower. That's what He does. That's how He works. If you're faithful with little, He will give you more to work with. God is faithful. God is faithful to your end, to what He wants to do for you, to how He wants to do with you. God will do more. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Could you put that up there? Real quick. It'll be my last scripture. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The Word of God is real. It is true. It is real. His promises are great. And it is of no fleshly human interpretation. He's real. I pray that as you read the Word today, that He met you with that same light. This is what I want to do with you. This is what I want to do with you. I want this Word to manifest itself into a greater glory. His Word is glorious. Let it be glorious in you. Right now, we're going to take, I want you to be thinking about your mustard seed of faith. What is your mustard seed of faith right now? What do you have that you're believing for? I don't care what it is. What is it that it can expand to? What is your leaven? I need to expand in this area in my life. I need to be bolder. I need to give more. I need whatever it is for you. I need my mustard seed of faith to grow into a plant, into a tree. I need to be more. And so, this is what I want you to do. Get that, you got your mustard seed? I want you to think of it right now. Got it? Got that mustard seed? Okay. I want you to bow your head, and I want you to pray. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray. Father, take that mustard seed. Father, take that mustard seed that I have. Father, your Word says that you've given all of us a measure of faith. And take that faith right now. Faith is a noun. It's not a verb. It's a noun. Take that faith that you placed in us, and I pray that it is expanded into the whole ear of corn. You've taken a kernel, and I pray that you take it into the whole ear of corn, and that you take it into even more a crop of corn. And I pray, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, that every one of these people that have taken by faith, Lord, the Word of God, and it be taken into good ground in their spirits, Lord, and that it go farther into their lives, and that it will shine as a sun and shine forth your glory, Lord. Do as your Word says, that your righteousness will shine as the sun in their lives. Father, speak to them. Speak to them right now through your Spirit and show them where their expanse needs to be and how it needs to come. And I pray, Father, for this man that I spoke to this week, that, Father, that he has an expanse of the kingdom of God. And that, Father, he walk out your plan for his life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The kingdom is like. It's almost like Jesus was just trying to find some way to get the point across to everybody that was listening. Like, maybe this will work for him. This will work for her. Maybe this will work for you. Let it work for you. Whichever one works for you, take it with you today and let it work for you. Let it work in you. You don't have to work on the yeast and the vine, the field and the mustard seed all at the same time. Just let whatever spoke to you work in you this week, and then he'll take care of the rest. Good word, Arthur. Thank you. Anything else before we go? Yeah. Go let the kingdom be expanded this week. If you haven't voted, be sure you get that done. Still have a 10 days, whatever, 9 days before the election day. Tuesday night, they'll be open late at the clerk's office. And lots and lots and lots of people have already voted right here in Crane. It's amazing. It's just, I think this is going to be an all-time record-setting turnout across the nation. Well, they told Beth at the election school the other night that about 600 had already voted. And there are only about 2,200 voters registered in this county. And so that's a lot in the first week or a little more than a week of the early voting. That's a lot. That's a big percentage, because sometimes that's about all you get, period. I mean, you may get 1,200 or so voted altogether. But anyway, it's people are very, very engaged. So. I don't know. They may post it at the clerk's office, but Beth reported that to me. So, anything else before we go? All right. Y'all have a great week.